Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the four-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Tacoma to Tallahassee, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Rocket can. Thanks so much for being with us, everybody. A good Wednesday to you. And we are absolutely loaded this morning aboard the DA. Coming up this morning on the show, can you say one of the greatest players in NFL history? Offensive lineman, a name that you know throughout NFL history as synonymous with greatness. He's a Pro Football Hall of Famer, and he was named to the NFL's all-time 100 team this past season. Anthony Munoz is going to join us coming up here in hour number four. Also this morning on the show, we talked about this really cool idea that the New England Revolution have done in MLS, and as they have played their MLS's back tournament in Orlando, they have invited all of their fans, or at least a subset of their fans, into Gillette Stadium where they play, also home of the Patriots. They've invited them in as part of a drive-in movie theater sports experience. They've had fans fill up Gillette Stadium on the grounds, on the artificial turf. They, of course, laid down protective covering over the turf. But fans have parked there and watched their games on the scoreboards, on the big screens, on the jumbotrons. It has been packed. It's been a cultural experience that, as a sports fan in New England, people have really fallen head over heels for. We'll talk to their president and the idea behind this, and if there are things like this you might see in your town this football season, with Brian Bolello, the president of the New England Revolution. That comes up at the top of hour number three. Also, Wednesday mornings, our mothership at the movie mornings. This morning, a deep dive into Little Giants, the 1994 film starring Rick Moranis and Ed O'Neill, better known as the guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, and Al Bundy, the O'Hara brothers, who have a lifelong rivalry that will be settled on the Pee Wee football field as their coaches of their respective teams, the Cowboys and the Giants. Sorry, the O'Shea brothers. I should know that I've just watched that last night. The O'Shea brothers, the two, Moranis and O'Neill, going at it head-to-head as they coach their Little League squad. So that's going to come up at the top of next hour hour number two. Mothership at the Movies Part 1, Mothership at the Movies Part 2 coming up at hour number 3. So a lot to get to this morning on the show. This hour and 20 minutes, is Giannis playing coy with how ready he is for the NBA reboot? And in 40 minutes, the Hawks have their redesign. We analyze whether Atlanta got the duds right. All of that this morning. Hit me up on the phones. Any of those topics you want to jump in on, let's do it. Anything else, it's all good. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Or follow me and tweet at me, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. We begin in the NFL, where training camps are set to open early next week. If they do, as currently scheduled, teams' rosters will have a maximum of 80 players. Now, this number is significant because the usual number of players on a training camp roster is 90. Now, this would be an effort, apparently, for social distancing measures at team facilities. 10 fewer players, the thinking goes, is a little bit more space for the players to move around and to enforce being at least 6 feet apart, what have you. Now, this is according to sources via an ESPN report who were on a Players Association call last night. Sources say that the NFL and the union did agree yesterday to the league's plan to drop all preseason games as well. So this was a win by the players, that they got no preseason games to be played. They have their testing policies now in place. They'll be tested for every day of the first 2 weeks of training camp. And no preseason games was a wish of the players. The owners wanted at least one or two, but they acquiesced. Now, with yesterday's developments, the league and the union inching closer to an agreement on the rules that will end up governing training camp, weeks of negotiations, the ESPN report says, seem to be coming to a head, as sources who were on the players' call last night said there has been agreement on several issues, but there's still work to be done on others. So there's other protocols about what happens if somebody tests positive and things of that nature. But in many years, in a typical year, teams add stalls to their usual locker rooms so that they can accommodate 90-man rosters. But this year, with the hope of social distancing, they're trying to get creative. Some auxiliary locker rooms, some more space, some media workrooms might be used, other vacant rooms and facilities might be used, maybe trailers might be used as well, and the hope is that reducing the rosters to 80, again, will limit how much people are on top of one another. And look, I would say that when it comes to what's safe for the players, you have to listen to the players. The players would know best because it's their bodies, it's their experience. They know what it's like to be changing in these rooms and space that you need. And look, you want them to feel safe to be able to go out there and play at their best. But I have to say, to me, there feels like there's an inherent mistake being made in limiting training camp rosters. It is where we begin your cold open.
In talking to some GMs, some guys are concerned now, without a preseason game, that you might make a mistake or two. And by that, they mean at the end of the roster. And that's okay, because you're going to have extra practice squad numbers. If that mistake is made, you cut a guy, somebody will pick him up. You can go get him off somebody else's practice squad. I think there's going to be a mechanism to kind of correct the mistake. Other guys I talk to say, hey, look, we're prepared. We're ready for this. We know our roster. We've done our work. We've done our due diligence. And if you did the work and you understand who's on your team, you're probably not going to make mistakes. So there's two sides to it. I'm a big believer they don't need the preseason at all. So move on and go play football in September.
I don't believe it.
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
That's Pete Prisco, NFL senior columnist for CBS Sports on CBS Sports HQ. for the start of this NFL season and the way that rosters will be decided, there's no doubt it's going to be really, really tough for these NFL coaches to know exactly what their players look like without games. I mean, look, you and I think that preseason games usually stink and that they're somewhat meaningless, and it's all backups and scrubs and special teams players, but these games are how coaches assess the back ends of their roster. They, by and large, know who their starters are going to be. They've watched enough film in the offseason. They're, of course, coming from the previous season. And even with new faces around, big free agent signings, what have you, are going to be slotted in with playing time and starters. And then you play a game, you play a guy X number of snaps in a preseason game, and you kind of get a sense of, okay, this is where he's at. Maybe you don't even have to see him in preseason. But the back ends of the roster, guys fighting for depth on the roster, second, third, string guys, backup linebackers, nickelbacks, dimebacks, special teams guys, all of these guys, backup offensive linemen, this is where you need to know what guys look like in competition. So do I think that assembling the roster is going to be far more difficult this year than ever? No question about it. No question about it. So that's a real concern. But ultimately, do we really want to shortchange this season or put this season in peril to make sure that, you know, the coaches have their special teams units down pat? Of course not. It's not worth it for that. These teams will end up cutting a number of these guys, paring it down to the 53-man roster, I assume. And if they've made a mistake, those guys are still going to be out there for free agent signings during the regular season. My problem here with going from 90 to 80 guys is you want, I would imagine, an expanded roster this season. I would imagine you want some assessment of more players than not, even if it means no games here. I think what you want is the knowledge of, okay, here's the extra 10 to 15 players we may need to call on because of potential positive tests. I've talked about this with all sports, and they're doing this in baseball expanded rosters. During this season of COVID, what you're trying to do is put safeguards up so that the season can keep trucking on in case there are positive tests. And that's what baseball has decided. And this is what we're talking about with football as well. If I'm a college football administrator, I say we're opening up our rosters. If I'm a conference commissioner from the NCAA, rosters get expanded by 20 people. And so you can invite more walk-ons to the team, that you have a bigger pool of players in case you need them, in case you need to limit reps because you're going to have a spring season and a fall season, things like that. Or because you're cramming in a lot of games into a short amount of time or something like that, or a lot of practices because you're going to hit the ground running. In the NFL, I would have expanded rosters. I would go from 53 to 63. I would have expanded preseason rosters, and I would have a better assessment of more players. Now, I get it. You don't want them changing on top of one another. But really, eliminating 10 guys is suddenly going to become that much safer. If you're talking about using media workrooms, if you're talking about using previously vacant rooms, equipment rooms for guys to change, you can find the space for 10 guys. Look, I have been a reporter inside NFL stadiums there every single week, like Arrowhead Stadium in KC, like Gillette Stadium in New England. I've seen all of the rooms used by the media, by equipment, by this, by that. You can find space to change. If you got it, you can change in the corridors, in the walkways. If you got it, the last guys on the roster, media's not really invited there anyway. So to me, expanding these rosters makes the most sense to, again, create this buffer in case guys test positive. I don't want these players to feel unsafe, but I think you get creative in how many guys or where they can change, and you add players to rosters. Of course, you try to do as much spacing as possible, but I think you want to create that buffer so that you have another set of players that you may need to go to at some point of the season. Worst case scenario is there's positive tests on 10 guys on your team and you've got to quickly grab 10 guys. Well, if you only have six or seven guys in your taxi squad and you don't have so many guys that you feel good about after the preseason that you've cut, don't you want a deeper pool to go to? I would. So I would rethink this if I'm the NFL, cutting it from 90 to 80 players. Smaller rosters don't feel like it's a better solution. The better solution is finding better solutions to have more players be able to change safely around one another and be around one another, just utilizing more of your stadium space. These are freaking enormous coliseums. Have them change out in the 300 level. I mean, do something. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Now, Mraz, yesterday we talked about how the NFL is seemingly coming to some type of agreement with the players on a lot of these things before the season even begins, before training camp begins. They're not dragging their feet. And it sounds like more got done yesterday. The NFL saying, okay, fine, no preseason games, certainly feels like whatever it's going to take to get these players back at the facility at the beginning of next week, they're absolutely going to do full steam ahead. I think the NFL is saying, hey, we want to start on time and we want to play all of our games on time.
It's almost frustrating how well the NFL's handling it in comparison. When I saw yesterday, it was just like that. Okay, that's what the players want, no preseason games. We're going to agree to no preseason games. And it's almost going so smooth that it's making me raise an eyebrow now, DA, going, wait a minute. Why is there actually no pushback from ownership in professional sports? Because that's all I'm used to now. So, look, if you love football, we all love football. We're ready for football in September. I don't know how every day you scroll Twitter and see all this NFL news from Schefter or Rappaport or anybody and not just go, okay, wow, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how things are supposed to go. We're going to get a season here.
Yep, the owners are acquiescing to what the players want. They know that they need the players to buy into this. They know that it's a PR nightmare to ask football players to play in what they deem as unsafe conditions. So this is what the NFL is going to do, and we talked about this yesterday, that the NFL wants to get its season played on time. They know there's a lot of revenue to be played, to be had, if they play on time in their preseason slots with the game scheduled as they are. Don't you think, though, that it's a little weird to be right now discussing cutting down preseason rosters and training camp rosters?
Here's the best way I would look at it, if I'm going to do counterpoint to you. If you look around what happened with some of these college football teams that had really high infection rates, right? They were Clemson, LSU, and some of the other smaller schools. About 30 players was what, wow, they have 30 players that tested positive. So above the normal 53-man roster, we're still bringing in 80 guys right now, which is 27 extra guys. And I would kind of lean on Pete Prisco's point in the beginning, and that is, to get to the 90-man roster you were going to have, you've done all your homework, you've done all your film, and those first 10 guys you're cutting were really the fringe guys. Will those 10 guys being involved in 4 weeks of practice be that much of a difference if you really have worst-case scenario with your team and you need to grab that many? Since they've already been involved in your virtual, they know your system, they know all of that. I don't know if them not being there for 4 weeks of practice is that enormous a deal if it was worst-case scenario for a team. That would be the way I would look at it.
Well, I hope that we don't get to a point where there's an outbreak of 10 or 15 guys in a team that get it, right, and then they have to kind of scramble and fill out their rosters. But if we get to a point this season where there is going to be, you know, an outbreak and an organization has to go sign 15 guys off the street to make sure that they play on a Sunday, I can tell you that those coaches are going to be wishing that they had guys in camp for those 4 weeks, that they have a little bit more sense. I mean, could you imagine if we're into November, there's a crucial game between the Cowboys and Eagles in the NFC East, suddenly the Cowboys have 15 guys that test positive, and now they go, okay, well, who the hell do we try to sign off the street to make sure we beat the Eagles this week? It'll be a pretty big deal.
You're absolutely right, but I guess the idea, though, is at least it's a level playing field for every team, that every team is going to have to go through this. I mean, you hope they don't go through the worst case scenario, but every team, you know, will have, it's not like somebody will have a deeper pool of players than another team. So that's just kind of where you're at with that. I don't know. To me, it's, again, it's only 10 guys. You're still getting 80 guys in camp. That is a very large number of a pool of players to pick from. So I'm less stressed about that long term. But look, we hope there's no worst case scenario. We hope we can keep on trucking through. But yeah, I would also say the new coaches, I think, are the teams that are going to suffer the most too. I think it's a bad year to have a new coach for whatever the six teams that have that, because they won't be able to lean on the pool of players they're used to having. You know, these would all have been new guys that they would have brought in at the back end of the roster. So those might be the teams suffering the most. But look, we're all in this together. Nothing has been perfect for any of these sports. And if that is, you know, a way just to space out something in a facility even more, maybe that just takes more precedent than having those 10 extra players.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see the veteran coaches and how they simplify and streamline their schemes for a preseason where you can't get reps in against other teams, you didn't see your players all off season, and you're not going to have a lot of contact. My guess is smart coaches like the New England Patriots or the Seattle Seahawks are going to streamline their offense and defensive schemes so dramatically. They're going to start the season with base packages, and then they'll start building up to more sophisticated things, but that when they start the season, you're going to see the most basic fundamental schemes because they just want everybody on board, and it's going to be a really tough way to start the season. I mean, imagine, you know, having to take a final and you missed 2 months of school. Everybody missed 2 months of school. It's the teachers that are going to use the week and a half before that final to just hammer home to the basic fundamentals that you have, whatever you need ready and accessible for that final, which is what this training camp is going to be, which is going to be wild. When we come back here on the show, is Giannis playing coy about how ready he is for the NBA's restart? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Value, big upside.
I listen to you in the morning, DA. DA, you the best. I don't know what it is. Well, I don't know. That's what I said. I don't know what the beef is.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's the beef? Happy Wednesday to you. It's time to Ask the Pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Perhaps it's where's the beef? Tweet at me the question at DA on CBS. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and be listening later on to the show when we'll answer that question. Ask the Pros brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Hey, guess what? The DA Show is available on Twitch. Yes, that video platform that gets all these athletes into trouble. You can watch the show on Twitch. Just find the CBS Sports Radio channel to watch the show every single morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific.
Oh!
Giannis playing a little game of chess, perhaps. Now, Giannis earlier in the summer had said he didn't have access to a hoop. And I went crazy over this type of stuff during the summer. When these guys, the NBA players, would act as though, hey, I've never touched a basketball over the course of these 4 months. I didn't have access to a hoop. I couldn't believe it. I still don't believe it. And if that's true, I am completely going to obliterate them. Look, if your job, which you are paid tens or hundreds of millions of dollars, includes playing basketball, find a hoop, find a basketball, okay? Go over your friend's house and play a little one-on-one in the backyard or in the driveway. Get a subscription. Get a monthly pass to a gym that may have opened up, may not have opened up, but you pay what you need to pay to that manager to get inside that gym for a solo workout every Tuesday and Wednesday morning or whatever. You just make sure you're touching a basketball. There is no excuse. You could go on Walmart.com, DickSportingGoods.com, or anywhere else and order a hoop for your driveway during quarantine. And for Chris Middleton to say he had not picked up a basketball in these 4 months, not only do I know you can order a hoop from Dick's, you can definitely order a basketball to at least palm it, dribble it, do whatever when you go out for a run. So please. So Giannis said he didn't have access to a hoop, which again, you are the NBA MVP. If you don't have a hoop and you have just decided 4 months of playing Xbox is good enough, this is a real issue. That's a you problem. Okay, and I can't believe it for a second that Bucks coaches who are sending, I'm sure, all of these guys conditioning lists and, you know, routines to do, schedules to do on a daily basis, I'm sure they're asking, hey, do you guys have a hoop? If not, we can get you a hoop. If not, we can get you inside the LA Fitness, you know, that's closed right now, but we'll make sure there's a hoop that we can. I mean, how can the Lakers have a secondary makeshift staple center in some billionaire's basement in Venice Beach or whatever? How can they possibly have that and Giannis doesn't have a hoop to work on? I mean, come on. So yesterday, Giannis admitted that he was just saying that to gain an edge. Giannis said, laughing, anybody out there that thought I didn't have access to a gym, they don't even know me. So I just said that to try to get a little ahead of the competition. Now, I don't know how Giannis believes that the rest of his peers aren't going to be like, okay, great. I mean, Giannis isn't playing, but I'm going to make sure that I find a hoop. Like, how many of his peers are going, oh, Giannis isn't working out, I'm not going to work out? That seems to be kind of a very loose strategy here by Giannis. Also, Giannis is a workaholic. Giannis has carved his body into chiseled stone. Giannis has worked on his game. Giannis is absolutely a worker. So when he told reporters in the spring, I don't have access to a hoop, I gotta think that he was lying at that point in time. But if the strategy was I was trying to get an edge on the opponents, I don't think he got much of an edge, man. I don't think that suddenly the rest of the league's like, oh, phew, man, Giannis doesn't have a hoop. Okay, I can chill out now. The chess game, the mind game of the NBA. Standing by with our headline this morning. He is back after a couple of days and a nice little break in Delaware on the lake. He had many, many days of wonderful fun, but he did miss Mraz as the entertainer. Yesterday. It is Andrew Bogish. AB, good morning. How we doing?
DA, good morning. We're doing well. We were in Connecticut, by the way, not Delaware, thankfully, because now Delaware is banned from coming north. You can't leave Delaware and come to New Jersey or New York. So luckily I didn't go there or I would have been stuck there, further angering Pete about schedules and texting me at inopportune times. Now, though, your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
That controversy was a big one. I don't mean to cut you off, but we're still getting tweets here about whether Bilotti was in the wrong for texting you on your day off at 5:15 a.m. I think you have a case here. I do.
I definitely do.
I'm surprised you don't turn off your phone. I turn off my phone, no alert. But I suppose if you have kids, maybe that's where, you know, making sure that you can be awake at all times by an alert or a phone call. I guess that's the key here. Why do you keep your phone on at night?
So I did turn off our GChat notifications because I knew those would be going off all morning early when I was off yesterday on Monday, because those, I to disconnect myself from that didn't make sense. Hit mute on that. I can't turn my cell phone off altogether, because everything in my life is connected to my cell phone. My house alarm, all the little gadgets here. It's the only way someone can get me while I'm at this lake in Connecticut. So I couldn't have my phone muted and have somebody calling me for an actual emergency at 5:15. Pete's text was anything but an emergency. That's what email is for at 5:15. Or just wait a little bit longer. I have an airtight case. There is no reason for Pete to have texted me at that time Monday morning. So anyone that's on Team Pete in this is just flat out wrong.
I'm Andrew Bogish.
The conversation is going to continue throughout this morning on the show.
I might have mentioned that your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. So I guess we'll call them the Pittsburgh Blue Jays this summer. The baseball team without a home will reportedly play its home games in the Steel City for now, since the Canadian government will not let the Jays host teams in Toronto. The Jays and Pirates have just one home game conflict over the first 6+ weeks of the season, making this little mini marriage possible. The Dodgers have surprisingly sent second baseman Gavin Lux to their minor league camp, one of the best young players in the game. Lux was their starter to finish last season, but then was late to camp this month for undisclosed reasons and then struggled defensively once he was there. And first baseman Anthony Rizzo expected in the lineup today for the Cubs' final warm-up game. Rizzo should then be fine for opening day on Friday. He's been battling lower back inflammation this month. The NBA takes another step in its restart today with the beginning of scrimmage games down at Disney. The Clippers and Magic are first at 3 Eastern. LA guard Pat Beverly reportedly left the bubble last night for a personal emergency. Clips forward Montrezl Harrell did the same thing on Friday, both expected back as soon as possible. Now, like baseball, soccer, and hockey, the NBA getting creative when it comes to including fans in games from afar. Anthony Davis likes what they're doing.
Oh! Wow, that's the first audio clip.
And we're back.
Good
the
job.
The first audio clip back from vacation does not fire.
But not the first problem we've had this morning. I'm filling in for Brad Heller today, and I could not do his normal 5:12 update on WCBS 880 here in New York because of a technical issue. And my cut also didn't fire at 5:30 for Amy, even though I did all the normal checks and balances. So I'm going back to the lake in Connecticut and or Delaware. You can text me whenever you want.
Book it.
Anthony Davis and his eyebrows like the idea of virtual fans inside the NBA courts down at Disney. They're going to use large video boards like we've seen with the MLS tourney at Disney. And speaking of that, last night, Atlanta United, a disappointing exit from that tournament, losing their final group stage game to Columbus 1-0. DC United also headed home after a 1-0 loss to Montreal. The Impact are still alive for the knockout stage thanks to that victory. Real Salt Lake and Sporting KC kick off at 9 Eastern this morning. As we discussed at the top of the show, the NFL is reportedly going with the player's wish for 0 preseason games. Training camp rosters are dropping from 90 to 80 to make it easier to implement all the new health precautions. And with the start of the college football season still in flux, there are many bank accounts still in flux. There are 3 special early season games scheduled for Atlanta, Florida State, West Virginia, Georgia, Virginia, and Auburn, North Carolina. Organizers say Atlanta would lose about $100 million of economic impact if those games do not happen. DA, back to you.
Also, what do those schools lose by not playing those games as well? Those non-conference games played in Atlanta pay out really well. So a lot of money lost by a lot of different entities in that. Boy, that's a terrible exit by Atlanta United, an MLS Cup favorite, one of the best teams in the league, and they don't even make the elimination stage of this kind of World Cup-style tournament to open up the MLS's reboot back. When we come back here on the show, the Atlanta Hawks went back to the future with their jerseys. Did they get it right? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Surge Protector. You're about to be zapped.
They put the glucose in my blood, Damon. Come on. Those cells are there. You know how hard a battle it is? It's uphill all the time.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. We appreciate you being with us here on the DA Show. A little reminder that the DA Show is in podcast form. If you ever want to listen to us on demand, whenever you want to listen to us, you can do that. Simply search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. Search the DA Show on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or, again, your favorite podcast platform. Subscribe, rate, and review us. That'll help other people find us. And bingo bango, you are good to go with the DA Show in podcast form. full hours, full episodes, or the best of every single day. It's a Mothership at the Movies Wednesday. This week, this morning, Little Giants is going to be what we break down. So coming up at the top of the hour, part number one of breaking down The Little Giants, a film which centers around a Pee Wee football one-game play-in contest coached by the O'Shea brothers, Rick Moranis and Ed O'Neill, as the upstart underdog Giants / Little Giants take on the powerhouse Cowboys in the Pee Wee football play-in game. We'll do that coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. But before that, the Atlanta Hawks jerseys for years have been an absolute unmitigated natural disaster, which is such a shame because the Atlanta Hawks have always had the easiest, the coolest, the simplest way to be one of the most badass uniforms in basketball. They've already worn them. They wore them back in the 80s. All they have to do is turn back the clock. But no, the Hawks have, for some reason, avoided just going back to their badass Dominique Wilkins, white home threads with the red stripe across their chest that has Hawks in it with the gold trim that are absolutely gorgeous. And even after those Dominique Wilkins jerseys, those 90s, mid-90s jerseys that had the oversized H and the Hawks in gold going across their body, still red and yellow, were beautiful. And even after that, in the Steve Smith, Dikembe Mutombo years, where they had the giant cartoon bird on their chest and the two wings, again, they were gold and red and black. And yet, for some reason, over the last 5 to 7 years, they've introduced neon green and fluorescent yellow. It never made any sense where this green and fluorescent came from. And then they tried the triangles, those little triangles on their jerseys and shorts, which they tried to convince us were mock feathers. I mean, the Hawks jerseys over the last decade have been so incredibly disgusting. They had Volt Green as part of their jerseys. Volt Green! Never part of anything that they ever did unless you go back to the Pete Maravich years of the 70s. But back then, they were green and blue. They've gone so far away from that for decades that they're going back to their old color scheme. The Atlanta Hawks are scrapping the Volt Green and the triangles, the fluorescence, and they're just going to red, yellow, black. Thank goodness. And it's very simple. It's a block Atlanta across the chest in red, a white jersey for their homes, red numbers, and the red and gold trim down the sides. Simple. For their road jerseys, they're red. Thank God. Not neon Volt Green, not black, just red. And they have gold trim down the sides. And then they do have an alternate jersey, which is black. I don't love it, but again, it's just block Hawks across the front, a block number, no crazy stylistic numbers, and then red and gold trim. So they're simplified, they make them look less like clowns, and this is a good thing. But they're still missing it. I don't understand why they don't just go back to the Dominique Wilkins game threads. Those jerseys are beloved. Those jerseys everybody thinks are awesome. The only thing I can think of is why you are avoiding and ignoring the obvious solution here is that you can use those as your third jerseys or your Christmas jerseys or whatever. Use those 5 games a year and then sell those. So you're trying to sell new jerseys here and then your old jerseys, I suppose. But it's the biggest miss. Everybody loves those jerseys. And I've said this before. If the NBA just took their jerseys from, say, 1985, and the NFL did the same thing, and Major League Baseball did the same thing, and they just took their jerseys from 85, they reinstituted them, and all of their modern jerseys were just their statement uniforms, their alternate uniforms, people would be happy, because the best jerseys that any of these leagues have largely ever had was essentially the mid-80s. And the Hawks are no different. Their best jerseys were 1985, and they will never be cooler than that, so why keep trying? Mraz, it's a win that they got away from these god-awful, gross Volt Green jerseys with the triangles. But still, they're missing the obvious win here.
Yes, and DA, as you point out to the mid-80s stuff, this isn't you hammering home trying to get the Bucks to wear the creamsicle uniforms, which we argued about because those were still atrociously ugly. They were just vintage cool. The Hawks uniforms in the mid-80s, they're beautiful. The color scheme of red and white with that gold, it's beautiful. That is a perfect color scheme. And it was also kind of trendy at the time to have kind of the swooping stripe come across as well, and that made them cool as well. If you're going back to the colors, just do the jerseys. And then, by the way, when you want to talk about selling the 1 to 5 extra jerseys, if you really want to go nuts, then in a year or two, you just bite it for a year or two. Then for 5 games a year, you bring back your stupid Volt Green uniforms and you act like those were trendy, ugly throwbacks, because at that point you'd be a couple of years removed. But just do the classic mid-80s uniforms. You nailed it. You don't have to fix what's not broke.
I don't know why they've avoided this for so long. The Hawks have had, since this 80s incarnation, probably 4 or 5 different jersey sets, and they never just go back to these. And yet, if you go to Atlanta and ask any Hawks fan what your favorite jerseys are, they will always say the Dominique Wilkins years. And you might say it out of nostalgia because Dominique was so great, so exciting. But also, it's because they're the coolest. They're cool and futuristic without being garish and clownish. So they're just awesome. And if you're thinking about what those old school ones used to look like, you might think of Dominique Wilkins. You might also think about Spud Webb winning the slam dunk contest in 1986. They're just perfect jerseys. And I don't know why they've always tried to avoid them. I mean, Mraz, these are fine. Trae Young at least doesn't have to wear Volt Green anymore. But if I'm the Hawks, I use the old school Dominique's as my base jersey. And then I'm sure you have a special spot in your heart because you grew up with these, of the cartoon Hawk, the Dikembe Mutombo, yes, Steve Smith jerseys that have the wings on them. I'm sure you love those. Use right. those as your alternate jerseys. I mean, people love those as well.
Yeah, that's right. I actually owned a Mookie Blaylock, one of those jerseys, to believe it or not. How about that? So, yes, absolutely. That's a perfect alternate, too. Because they've tried so many times, they have plenty of opportunities to wear throwbacks 5 times a year. So just get the best ones of your jerseys from the mid-80s and make sure you're wearing them most of the time. Because at the time, as we just mentioned, as you're talking about, they were kind of futuristic in the mid-80s, which makes them even cooler today.
I just saw, speaking of jerseys, a picture/video clip, I believe. I don't know which one it was, of Turn Forward the Clock Day by Major League Baseball in 1998. Back then, it was, what will jerseys look like in 2050? We're going to turn this forward 50 years, I believe it was, or 52 years, whatever. And they're all these space-age, crazy, futuristic jerseys. And remember, the New York Mets were the Mercury Mets, and there was some type of weird space-age sign on their jerseys. Everybody had cut-off sleeves. I mean, they were really awful. But I was watching this. I don't know why this came across my timeline, probably because I follow so many jersey nuts on it, and they were studying this 1998 Turn Forward the Clock, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? We're almost halfway to 2050 now from when that was, and jerseys don't look like that at all. I mean, not even close. In fact, most baseball teams are going back to their mid-80s threads. You see how many powder blues there are around baseball these days, so I don't think the Mercury Mets in 2050 are ever going to happen.
Yeah, that would have been the innovator in 1998 to just bring back the jerseys from the 40s and say this is what uniforms will look like in 2050.
When we come back here on the show, Mothership at the Movies, The Little Giants gets our magnifying glass this morning. We'll do that coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.